On this episode of the Minnesota Rundown, Kirk Cousins introduces the show as we discuss the Vikings' first win and what feels like the millionth time playing in Seattle. The Wild actually make moves. The Twins are cursed. We give our social simps and boom and bust for the week. All that and more on the Minnesota Rundown.
This is the Minnesota Rundown, presented by
10,000 Takes. 10,000 Takes.
Featuring JJ, the best damn journalist to ever do it.
10,000 Takes.
And Bossman, who runs the fucking company.
10,000 Takes.
10,000 Takes.
This is the Minnesota Rundown, presented by
10,000 Takes.
10,000 Takes.
Welcome, family, brothers and sisters of the Minnesota world. Welcome back to another episode of the Minnesota Rundown. I'd like to introduce myself. I am Kirk Cousins, Minnesota Vikings quarterback. I am honored to be a guest here on the Minnesota Rundown. Just honored to be here. And you know, sometimes I give myself a heart attack. No, just kidding. That's not Kirk Cousins. He actually said that yesterday, though, on the post game.
What did he say?
He said, like, they're like, I forgot who was interviewing him, like Ben Lieber or something on the radio was interviewing him, saying, hey, you almost gave us a heart attack out there again, Cousins. And he's like, sometimes I give myself a heart attack or something like that.
Probably in the bed when he's just railing Julie.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I mean.
Ben Lieber's out there. Hey, everyone, look at my hair. Look at that. Two jokes in less than 10 seconds. I'm on fire already.
Less than 10 seconds into the show. Again, guys, this is the Minnesota Rundown. We don't actually have Kirk Cousins. I wish. That'd be awesome. We have to try to find the connection to get him on here. I am, of course, JJ, Journalist Jake, joined by Wags and Bossman. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful little Monday night as we're recording this. I think we're going to get ready to watch the Packers lose tonight after the podcast. Should be pretty fun.
Yeah.
They will lose.
Yeah, Zane, if you guys didn't see over the weekend, won a belt. He almost killed someone. He won a UFC belt or a WWE belt.
World Tag Team Champion, even though I was just by myself in the fight. Go and check out our TikTok, though. We have great videos on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. And check us out everywhere, honestly, because we're freaking awesome. So, I mean, why not check us out and follow us everywhere? We're the next big thing, you know. So
absolutely.
But, guys, but, yeah, Bossman, you are on fire. Jokes right away. It's going to be a good show. You know that. But, obviously, you know, we're coming in with a little more pep in our step because the Vikings, well, at least me and Wags are, because
Colts got a dub, so we're all.
You know, Jack, but you're used to dubs this year.
That's true. That's true. That's fair. That's fair.
Okay. I'm wearing my new Kirk Cousins semi-authentic jersey today, if you cannot see. I just got it as of Monday, so I have to wear it. And represent the purple and gold because they actually got a win, and I'm happy about it. And we pretty much drove the Texans to fire their head coach and their GM. So, you know, it's the one bright spot of this season.
I really wanted to start off actually talking about the Vikings. If they were to lose, would Mike Zimmer be in the same position Bill O'Brien found himself in today, which is getting fired?
You know, I would probably have to say no. But, okay, let's be realistic. I don't know. I probably not. I'm going to sit the side of no, just because I feel like Rick Spielman and them just have a tight relationship. Although I would have been calling for his head if they would have lost. I'd have been like, we got to fire people.
And we knew, like, you know, there's so many times where GMs make moves and we like to bitch about it, but then it ends up working out and we're like, we were wrong. But like, you look at the call, the Bill O'Brien trade with David Johnson for DeAndre Hopkins. Like, you look at that trade as a non-GM, you know, person, just a fan, and you're like, that is a terrible fucking trade. This team is going to go 0-16. I remember there were memes coming out saying that this was back in January when they made the trade or whatever, but the season was already over. Like, the Houston Texans have been eliminated from the 2021 playoffs. And, like, we all made the memes, but it was true. That was a horrible trade. Hopkins and Deshaun Watson were one of the best duos in the league. Statistically, and if you just watch them, you know, they had chemistry, and then you get rid of them for a guy who hasn't really proven himself, kind of a bust in the NFL, if you ask me, David Johnson. We all saw it coming. I said they were going to go 0-16, and it's looking like a good call. And, yeah, you fire the guy who thinks that was a good idea. It makes sense to me.
Yeah, definitely. I now that trade's just like a waste now.
Oh,
that,
terrible.
That's totally
yeah.
a waste. You know, the next GM that comes in, you're like, I would have never – every GM around the league was like, I would never make that trade.
I think a 10-year-old playing my franchise mode on Madden would have known that wouldn't have made that trade.
Well, the funniest part about this, and Minnesota fans, like, if you want a franchise to feel a little bit superior – oh, my gosh, superior to
like,
–
superior.
There yeah. you go. Superior too. Look at the Houston Texans. They're 0-4 right now, and they don't have their next year's first or second round draft picks.
Yeah.
That is unreal.
They just decided that they had too many years of being a good team and that they need to take a break.
That is terrible management. They deserve that. But yeah, but going back, circling back, I would be hoping if the Vikings would have lost, although this is huge hypothetical because they won, but I sit in the side of I don't know if they would have fired Zimmer yet. I feel like they still want to wait him out because he's I don't know. He has done some things here, but I just don't know. I mean,
well, the NFL, just like all sports league, it's a what have you done for me lately type of thing. And starting off the first 25% of your season, losing every single game, I think most head coaches who start off in that position, unless it's their first year, would most likely be fired.
Yeah, that means well, if you go the hypothetical road, if Zimmer did would have got fired, then he's still on the hot seat. If he starts like 1-5, he could be gone.
100%, though.
Just imagine, like, you're an NFL coach. You just get canned in the middle of the season. Like, you weren't even good enough to make it to the end.
Well, I mean, actually, I'd prefer that as a coach because they pay – if you get fired, they pay you the rest of your contract that you sign. So
yeah.
You get paid for doing nothing.
Now you just go on vacation.
Exactly, with that millions of dollars in the bank.
Yeah, true.
Or is it – what is his name? Bill O'Brien? His name?
Yep, the coach and the former GM of the Houston Texans.
Yeah, and he – wait, he was the GM, too?
He took – oh, yeah, he made
it was
himself.
Like a Belichick bit.
Oh, yeah. That makes perfect sense.
Yep. He's the idiot who made the trade.
Dude.
That's how I look at it.
Okay, yeah, he was totally in the right to be fired, but he should have just stayed at Penn State. He had a good thing going there, and then he decided to be like, I'm going to be a Belichick and go to Houston. Like, he did okay at Penn State, and now he's gone. He's out of a job.
He'll land on his feet somewhere. There's so many worse coaches in the league who still have jobs, like Mike McCarthy. That doesn't make any sense, how he's still employed.
It makes sense that he's with Dallas.
Yeah, I was going to say, makes sense. Jason Garrett was even worse.
It makes sense that they lost to the Browns on Sunday, too. They made it close in the end, but I think they gave up 45 points to Baker Mayfield. He didn't even throw 200 yards that game. That's pretty unreal.
Kevin Stefanski,
I guess, is the real deal. He gets to go up against that Indianapolis Colts defense this coming week. So
which might be the best defense in the
league. That's really fucked up because I'm used to the offense-heavy Andrew Luck with a terrible defense and them having to win in like a shootout. You know, the shootout style type.
A shootout.
Kind of like the Chiefs. That's how they've been the last few years, you know, where they got to win games big. But now it's like we're beating the Bears 16-11. I mean, I guess I'll take that.
Well, and the thing is about the Colts, too, the Vikings have put up over 30 points in 3 of their 4 games. The only time they couldn't was 11 points against the Colts. I honestly think the Colts may be, like, the real deal. And thinking about Xavier Rhodes, who plays for the Colts, he is actually, like, since he has other corners on the team to lock other people down, it seems that they're putting him on the other team's second or third best receiver, and he's playing great against them.
The Minnesota Sports Effect is real. Confirmed for the 150th time. Like, David Ortiz, Kevin Garnett, like, he left. I mean, I guess KG wasn't bad when he left the Timberwolves, but bad example. But Xavier Rhodes left, and we're all like, he's just gonna make a career turnaround, and he's gonna be like an all-star, and he's been the best cornerback in the AFC this year,
maybe even in the NFL. The first 25% of the season.
Yeah, it's hilarious though.
I think the sample size isn't big enough yet.
No, it's not.
It was a couple games. He had one or two good games even last year with the Vikings. You're like, could he be turning the corner? Maybe, and then he just goes dog shit the next few weeks.
When you win AFC Defensive Player of the Week against the Jets, it's like, well, that should be every week.
Yes.
Well, what did who did former Gopher Anton Winfield Jr.? He won some AFC Defensive Player of the Year
of the week.
Last week.
He forced a nice fumble.
Yeah.
Who did they play against?
That's a good
question. Tampa Bay. They played.
I forgot.
Well, they played the Chargers. Well, they played the Chargers
yesterday. I think
Antoine won it the week before.
He won it the week before.
Yeah, I think Tom Brady threw 5 touchdowns and a pick 6, but they got the W.
Whatever works, man.
Man, we should have got Antoine Winfield, former Gopher, but that's
just
me being
biased. Fucking Tom Brady. He was not like he was a free agent or anything.
Yeah, you're right. Well, let's just replace Kirk Cousins, okay? Why not?
Kirk Cousins is the problem. Dude, there's still people saying tank for Trevor.
It makes no sense.
Oh, yeah.
It makes literally no sense because, like, you literally have to, like, purposely tank. The Vikings aren't that bad that they're going to go 2-14. They're going to go at least 7-9 or 8-8 at minimum.
Well, hey, and the Vikings got primetime this week.
Yeah, they got a primetime in Seattle. And, like, we were just talking about shootouts. The only way they're going to win that game is if they compete in the shootout because Russell Wilson and Seattle is going to put up a shit ton of points. And
on the bright side, though, there aren't fans allowed in that stadium, so it might be so quiet in there you'll be able to hear the echo of Pete Carroll chewing gum in that. I hope he has good flavor under that mask that he doesn't wear properly.
The Vikings have to go to Seattle every single year. Like it seems like every single year they have to go to Seattle, and you know Seattle is the home of the 12th man, right? Their crowd is so loud where it gives them such a big advantage on defense because the offense can't hear the play call, right? So without a crowd, I think the Vikings actually have a decent chance to pull this off. It all comes down to their defense. It seems like their offense can put up over 30 points a game. They've done it 3 out of 4 games. You're right. It's a shootout 100%. What's this defense going to do? Mike Zimmer might be too busy, getting acquainted with his new girlfriend to focus on the defense. But
focus on the game plan. You know, it's like, Zimmer, come to bed. No, I got to focus on the game plan.
There's only two circles he's focused on instead of 11.
Yeah, you know what they are. But, no, he... She's going to be like,
and then, and then Kirk's like, Coach, I need you here. The titties are nice, but I need your head in the game.
Hey, Zim.
He's talking to Zimmer instead of what should be. He's coaching Zimmer. He's like, hey, Coach Zim, I understand that, you know, you got some a good piece of ass over there, but you got to come back here and focus on the defense here. I mean, come on, man. I got to have some support after I score a touchdown and do a quarterback sweep and use my legs to get first downs.
Kirk Cousins is like the son who isn't getting enough attention from his dad. He's like, yeah, you know, we had a handshake, and you don't even remember it because your head is just elsewhere.
Literally and figuratively. But he's like, Sam, you were a dad to me, but now I just don't think this woman is very good for you at all. I think she's really changing
her
ways.
I'm not calling her mom.
Yeah, Zimmer, I'm not calling her mom. He'd be like, Kirk, what the hell are you talking about?
Could you imagine Kirk actually referring to someone's girlfriend as, who's that piece of ass?
Who's that piece of ass?
Kirk in college, maybe.
Yeah, maybe Kirk in college.
After he had two Bud Lights.
You know, after he defeated Wisconsin in that Hail Mary in 2011, I think.
Yeah, he's like,
I remember that.
Give me
that.
A piece of ass.
Give me a piece of ass. I don't want some beer. I want that piece of ass.
That's before he had the second testament or the second the second Bible, Kirk, you know, just Kirk's, memorized.
Yep. Kirk was maybe he's just one of those Christians who's like very religious but just fucks.
Oh yeah.
Just that whole part of Christianity.
College.
Where you're like abstinent, he just like not he's Kirk. Like, nah, that ain't happening.
Nah, I'm not doing that. And then I met Julie, and now I calmed down a little bit. But
yeah, just imagine Kirk explaining to God, time's different now. You know,
yeah.
it's not the 1800s.
Come on, God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you know, I appreciate you though. You know, all my faith goes to you. You know, but
God bless. Fuck the Packers, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, God bless. Fuck the Packers, Kirk Cousins. That just be his signature every time he gets off an interview. I'd be like, Kirk, I love you, man. Like that's perfect, dude. You can't do it any better than that.
Do either of you remember the Vikings actually beating Seattle in the last 10 years? Has that happened?
They should have won last year on Monday night. Mm-hmm. I remember I bet on that game.
They got their ass kicked and they came back at the end. I remember
we got our ass kicked in the second half.
Laquan Treadwell, he got like a 60-yard touchdown against them last year.
Surprisingly.
Again, no crowd, the Vikings have a lot better chance than I think. Just like how no crowd is really affecting the Vikings playing at home right now. They're not nearly as good at home. Normally they're the best team at home every single year.
Well,
I think the same thing's going to happen with Seattle, and the Vikings have a shot next week to go 2-3.
Seattle's just going to pump in 10 different tracks from Madden 20. They're just going to stack them on top of each other, audio boost it, and just...
This isn't working. The Vikings are actually scoring. What are you doing?
There's got to be a regulation around that, right? Because couldn't...
Decibels?
Couldn't a team just blow out their speakers with
they
crowd
probably
noise
could.
When they're on defense?
I thought I heard there is a limit on, like,
there's
decibels.
There has to be,
like 80 decibels
because
or something?
Because, you know, teams like the Patriots or, like, the Seahawks would just boost that as high as it could go.
Oh, 100%.
And then they'd give their staff complimentary earplugs.
Yep.
Have you guys
just pump this up to 120, I'll give you a... Give you $100. I'll
give you a tuggy.
Tuggy.
Russell Wilson, though, he is playing like the MVP of the league. I'm not sure if you guys know this. He has 16 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions through the first 4 games.
That's insane.
1,285 yards over the 4 games. That's unreal. He is taking on Dalvin Cook, though, who is leading the league in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. So it really just seems like it's... I'm going to say it's Russell versus Cook who can
it's
do more.
It's the Seahawks versus the Chef.
I loved our meme Cook. Last game. It was that Homer Simpson, you know, when he's skinny, but he has all of his fat pulled back. And it was
tied behind his back.
Dalvin Cook was the skinny Homer, and all the fat pulled up behind him was the rest of the Minnesota Vikings. That describes him perfectly. Without Dalvin, Where the fuck would we be, straight up?
Nothing. We would be 0-4 if we didn't have Dalvin Cook, honestly. But
and he's
like,
doing this with a shitty O-line, too, which is even more impressive.
That's insane. Yeah, our O-line is pretty shitty. Like, if we just had an average offensive line and you, like, giving Kirk at least 3 seconds to throw on most plays and allow Dalvin to just get a hole, like, we would be, I mean, our record might be reversed. I don't know. Like, seriously. But it's... You got to also take into consideration going into Seattle our defense. So that's the thing. If they can hold up enough, I mean, we could lose this game 55-40 mm-hmm. or 55-41 or something like that. Honestly, seriously.
And kind of looking back at that Houston game, it was close, but it was only close because we didn't have Harrison Smith the second half of the game with mm-hmm. George Eichola, the safety who replaced Harrison Smith, blew, I think, 2 touchdowns were his fault. And you can't blame him. He literally got signed from the practice squad to the team the day before, and then that shit happens and he gets forced in there. You can't blame him too much for that poor performance because he's just a brand new player.
Yeah, he wasn't expecting to play. Yeah, you know? I mean, you do have to be expecting to play just in case, but he's not as experienced as a Harrison Smith. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
but I liked what the Vikings were able to do with the mobile quarterback with Deshaun Watson. Obviously, he didn't have the best supporting cast, but if they can be similar with Russell Wilson. You know, I just cross your fingers, pray that we can actually put up 50 points because that's what we're gonna have to do.
Yeah, it's going to be it could be a shit
which
show,
we could
though.
Do. Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, and Cook are all playing like all-stars, so let's keep it up.
I don't know. I'm scared for the defense, though, but we'll see what happens in Seattle. If the Vikings go, don't they have a bye after this week, too?
They do, yeah.
So if they can get the win, 2-3, going to the bye, that'd be nice. I don't know. I'm just got to be optimistic as a Vikings fan, I guess.
You're just ready for a miracle to get them in the first round of the playoffs. And then
to just lose
or win by a field goal and then get killed the game after that.
Well, not win by a field goal because that, well.
Actually, a touchdown.
We probably have to win by a touchdown. We probably have to win by a touchdown. We're not winning by a field goal. If it's within 3 points in a playoff game, we're losing that game.
Yeah.
It's never us.
The irrational Vikings fan in me is like, okay, we do have a first and a second round corner who are both really good that we drafted last year. Maybe by game 15, by game 16, they'll really settle in. They'll become elite corners maybe after they get the experience.
Elite.
That's just the irrational Vikings fan in me. Like, that's the only way I see this.
Joe Flacco, elite.
Elite. You got to be elite. No, but I think that's actually kind of realistic, though, because there's people that are like, there are those irrational fans that have already given up on Cam Dancer, that Zimmer's lost control of his defense, when in reality, I know you're a quarter through the games, you don't want to be 1-3, obviously, but these guys are still developing and learning. There are guys that would, you know, are rookies and learning the game and learning the coverages and getting attuned to the speed of it. And who knows, they might, I think it's just kind of realistic to say, hey, they're still trying to find the rhythm, get into their game a little bit.
And Zimmer is known for calling really confusing, complex plays for his defense, for his corners to really confuse the quarterbacks. It's this system. He's never really started like a rookie corners in the past. He hates starting rookies. That's why Justin Jefferson, who should have been starting since week one, sat his ass on the bench for the first 2 weeks. So
damn it, Zimmer, that could you could have lost your job. You're lucky, man.
I just think
if you do have that
talent, like a protruding talent, you got to play him week one. Like, you know, just like the Bears. If they were playing Nick Foles from week one, I definitely think they would have won last week against who were they playing last week?
The Colts.
Nick Foles, if he actually had a few weeks with that offense, not they would have won, but they would have been way better prepared.
No.
Colts are too good.
Nick.
Big Cat tweeted the. Fucker, what do you say? The Bears didn't lose; they just ran out of time.
You can't say that,
dude. You know damn well if this was because he's always the guy that's tweeting like what is he saying? Like, thanks for coming out.
That's what I said. Thanks for coming out, comma. So Chicago Bears.
He'd be the guy that would be bashing. Like, he needs to look outside the box. He's like, you do realize that if you would have been on the winning side of that, who are the Bears playing again? They're playing the.
Colts
this week. Oh, yeah, that's right. We're just talking about
Jesus Christ.
I was thinking about the Lions, dude.
I was thinking about Mike Zimmer's girlfriend's tits, dude.
I was thinking about her tits, dude. Freaking hot, dude. But so, yeah, they're playing the – no, if the Bears would have beat the Colts in the same fashion and someone from the Colts Twitter was like, oh, we just ran out of time, Big Cat would have been all over and like, oh, no, you guys just suck, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
You shouldn't have had more time. It's like, dude, you have 60 minutes
to complete it. He's mastered the persona, though, right? So he's going to choose the excuse no matter what because it's his team.
He knows what he's doing.
It's just a bit.
It's a bit.
It's a bit. But enough Viking stuff. We're done with the Vikings.
Podcast? Whatever happened to that?
Bubba has – just
Bubba doesn't have drive.
Whenever I bring it up, he's like, yeah, that sounds interesting. And then like I'll be like, okay, like do you want to meet this day to plan it out? And then I just get ghosted.
Yeah.
It's kind of happened for a few months, so I rip.
Rip to Bubba, and then the Bubba breakdown, he always brings that up once more. Like, what's that?
It'd be like on Wikipedia, how if something, like the second it just gets canceled, they say this thing was a whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like the Bubba Breakdown was a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it was a...
Not a pod. It's past tense.
It was an American podcast that lasted for 8-9 episodes where the based main on guy Minnesota didn't sports. Do shit. Based on Minnesota sports, but he didn't do shit.
No.
But he would hear this. He's probably going to listen to this. I'm going to get a text or a call from him angry in 2 days saying, you guys are disrespecting me. You're talking about me on the podcast. Well, we're just stating a fact here about the podcast we're trying to get up. We're trying to motivate you here. We want you to get a podcast going, man. You have a personality. Dude. You have character. You just got to get that drive to do it, dude. Why not, dude? But enough Vikings talk. I want to move on to, obviously, the Minnesota Wild. They as of Monday, they made some interesting moves, and, they're much needed. It was about time. I mean, they're a little quiet here since the season just ended here last week, so they've had a week to, they're actually getting started strong here in the off season in the fall, which is weird to think about. It's weird because the season was technically slated to start, I think, this week, the next season. Yep. It's so weird. It's so weird that the next season and literally the last season literally just ended last week. And now it's like this. It was supposed to start this week, and now we're in off season. We're seeing moves.
All the teams like the Wild who got eliminated early were like, "Thank God I can get out of the fucking bubble,
get out of the bubble and go party." They don't let you do shit here, dude.
Yeah. I think the NHL was like the only major sports league that didn't have a single positive test.
Yeah,
yeah. Since they've all since all the leagues started or restarted their sports.
And do you remember basketball too? They had all these issues of players leaving the hotel to get food, and they'd have to get quarantined and stuff like that.
I hated their motel food.
That's why I love hockey players though. They're like you tell them to do something. Like most of the hockey players are like, I just need ice in a bed and I will be there. Like that's most hockey players.
Like Alex
and then you get like the NBA players posting a picture of what looks like a 5-star hotel room and calling it the Motel 6. It's like what?
I think hockey players like hockey more than basketball players like basketball.
That might be a true statement, honestly.
That's kind of a bold statement, but I think it might be true.
It seems like there was more of an attitude out of the NBA players and the hockey players, and they probably had it better being in Orlando. You know, they're on Disney World resorts. There's probably more for them to do, and you're in the bubble in Edmonton.
Also, NBA players are famously known for being more horny.
You're right.
I guess one of the chicks who's administering tests just got pounded by like the entire Phoenix Suns team.
Oh yeah.
Well, speaking of fucking Seattle, one of their draft picks, or maybe he was an undrafted rookie, he tried to sneak a girl into their like hotel room dressed like completely in Seahawks gear.
Oh yeah, that's right.
She was wearing a helmet and everything. They caught him with her and everything.
Weird. It almost reminds me of like when two kids stand on each other's shoulders and wear a trench coat. That's probably about as good of an attempt as it looked.
And it's like she's walking into a hotel. Does it not look weird that she's wearing completely full football gear? Like
Seattle down in Florida in an NBA bubble. That's just weird in general. Like, is this guy trying to go in and kill a player or something? This is weird shit.
Yeah, that guy, and then you had the other NBA player who was like, went to a strip club and he told him he was going to get wings.
Yeah,
it's like, shut up.
Dude,
strip clubs do offer food. You get the VU who offers hot dogs after midnight, which is hilarious. But don't even try to say that. Don't even try to say that's the reason you went to a strip club in a place where there's no women that you're forced to stay in. Don't pull that. Kawhi Leonard, dude. Kawhi Leonard. There's videos of him at strip clubs. That guy loves strip clubs.
Oh, you can tell.
You know, he wanted to go to a strip club during the bubble, but he didn't. Yep.
No, because he's a common sense player. He brought the strippers to him.
Yeah.
So you could probably easily do that, get that figured out. I mean, you're an NBA player, for God's sakes. Like, what the hell? And you heard of that, sneaking women. And that's obviously like how probably some of the COVID spread is. They're just bringing in people from outside, and it's like they don't care.
Yeah,
you tell them like, well, you guys can't be bringing in girls. You know what? They're staying in like it's like almost like high school kids out an out of town tournament. Like you're telling them you know, follow these rules and stuff. And it's like high school kids don't follow that. Do you think these adults will?
You guys aren't allowed to go to the pool.
Well, I also think that's probably the difference between the NBA and the NHL. The NHL, they have, like, you can get drafted and then you can spend 3 years playing in the minors. You can keep playing college hockey. You can keep playing in the OHL, CHL, WHL, right? By the time most of these players are rookies in the NHL, they're 22, 23, 24 years old. NBA players, they're coming right from college for 1 year.
Sometimes not even high school. They should change the rule though.
Yeah. It was more fun. Just like Tracy McGrady, Kevin Garnett, and Kobe Bryant,
yep.
Straight from high school to
straight
the
from
LeBron.
High school. LeBron, LeBron James,
LeBron James.
That was legitness. No, but they probably should change it. But yeah, no, you got a good point though. It's like some of the NHL players are. You know, they're starting later. Some of these guys are
married.
Really young.
A lot of them are married, dude. Yeah. You look at the NBA. I feel like there's marriage is not as common.
Just right now, like right, we're like the average age of us is about 24 years old here. Us three sitting here, and like looking back to when I was 18, personally, I feel like I've gained so much more knowledge, so much more wisdom just in the last five or six years here, and just 18 year olds are dumbasses. They really are. But you're supposed to be when you're 18, when you're 19. So can you really
you're allowed to kill people?
Just
no. Nope.
My thing is
no, nope, Andy.
I would I would just hope that most of these rookies and stuff understand okay, I can choose. Getting paid $17 million this year or having a floozy come up to my hotel room for 1 day and ruin it all. It just doesn't make – it's like you should be able to, at that point of your life, to weigh consequences and understand what's more important.
Well, and you don't want to cost it for your whole team.
You get sick and you get your whole team sick and you cost some shit. You're going to be the fucking –
Yeah, that guy who brought his girlfriend with the Seahawks clothes just got kicked off the team. They told him to go home.
Yep, exactly.
That would suck.
Serves
him right. I know, seriously. You can control yourself a little bit. You're in a bubble here. I would be very conscientious about other people. I know I have this opportunity here, but I'm here to play. I don't want to ruin it for everybody else. So then it's going to come back to bite me.
The funniest thing is all these players are but what am I supposed to do? I can't get laid. And we're all sitting here
join the club.
Yeah, join the club, dude. Seriously. You're lucky enough. You could stay there for 2 months and you can go get laid all the fuck you want while we're still sitting. Well, majority of men in America are just not getting any action. So just shut up. Sit down. Shut up. Come on, man. But, yeah.
Focusing on the Wild,
go back to the Wild, yes.
Yeah. So today, which is Monday when we're recording this.
Monday.
The Wild, they did two trades, and they both were sent to the San Jose Sharks. I don't understand why they didn't do it in a package deal, but whatever. We traded Devin Dubnyk and this year's 7th-round pick for a 5th-round pick in 2 years, and we retain half of Dubnyk's salary.
That's pathetic.
You don't like that trade?
Well, couldn't we? I mean, why are we retaining half his salary still for?
Because he's getting paid starting goalie money, and he's going to a place where he's no longer the starter.
Yeah, but I mean, what do we give up a 7th-round 2022 for fifth?
No. So we're giving up Dubnyk in a 7th-round this year for a 5th-round pick 2 years from now.
Dude, I think that's stupid.
Trading apples and oranges.
I would have liked a 4th-round 2021 pick, and if we're going to retain his salary or something, even though that's probably too much. But it's
it's only $2 million of a salary retained.
Yeah, you're right. It's not a lot. Oh, yeah, that's right. We're not. It wasn't a lot this year anyway, so I guess that's fine. I don't know.
Nothing against Devin Dubnyk, but this was more of just dropping dead weight, right?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. He was no longer a starting caliber goalie. You could tell last year something happened, whether it was personal or whether his game is
He's getting older. He's not getting younger.
And I think Garen said it best. He had a talk with Dubnyk, and both of them just felt like the Minnesota Wild are no longer the best choice. The Wild have Stalock, Kaapo Kähkönen, who I actually am really high on Kaapo. I think he could be great. But there are some rumors, Jake. I know how much you love rumors.
Rumors.
The Wild are looking
some
at
rumors.
They're looking into acquiring either Marc-Andre Fleury, which would be pretty cool to get Flower in a Minnesota uniform.
I would love to have
Marc-Andre
Fleury.
Even some rumblings that Phoenix Coyote or Arizona Coyotes goaltender, former Minnesota Wild goaltender Darcy Kemper might be coming back to the Wild as well.
I don't like that.
So any of those options interest you?
Marc-Andre Fleury. I do like putting the – I almost would just say, hey, just put all your marbles in Kaapo Kähkönen. You always see these young goalies coming in the NHL. You look at Jordan Binnington, even though he didn't have as stellar of a showing in these playoffs, I think
– he still led St. Louis to a Stanley Cup.
And they have all these young goalies and that come up and do great and those goalies like Pekka Rinne and Tuukka Rask, I mean, they were doing great when they were super young. And – and they're older now, obviously, but it's like you put your marbles in that instead of trying to go with an older goalie, man. I mean, we might have our goalie. I mean, he came out and did well in a couple games he started.
So Andre Fleury would be fucking awesome. We can all agree with that.
Mick Fleury.
What's very interesting is the Kemper thing. So we're in Minnesota sports effect inception.
It's Bill Guerin's trying to change the course.
It's like the reverse. It's like playing a reverse card when someone else throws a reverse card in Uno. So we trade him away, right? Has he been doing good in Arizona?
Jake's going to say he's done all right, but he was a Vezina candidate this year. I know.
Yeah, well, he had some stellar games, right?
Jake's upset with the inconsistency, right?
He has brutally bad inconsistency. I don't see him as like a goalie.
Just like my goalie.
We need a game. Joke of the day. We need a consistent game-changing netminder to come into this team. I don't know if we can afford to.
Well, no, that's
have
where
an inconsistent
I, that's why you brought up Capo. You were like, we should just focus on Capo and get a young goalie instead of bring him
into the system.
And I agree with you because we had a young goalie named Darcy Kemper, and we traded him away because we didn't think he'd do anything. And then he goes to Coyotes and becomes a Vezina, right?
Yeah.
We had a goalie named Antoine Khudobin.
Guess what? He goes to
the Dallas Stars and he leads them all the way to the Stanley Cup final. The Minnesota Wild give up goaltenders because they think these young goalies will be nothing, and they turn out to actually be really good. So
it's a Minnesota sports effect. It's also David Ortiz, Kevin Garnett.
They do with the Twins.
Xavier Rhodes.
The Wild are really
bad. Jimmy Butler's in the fucking NBA finals now.
Yeah,
what the
dude,
fuck?
Right?
Well,
what?
He wanted out, you know.
Yeah.
But then again, that was poor.
I blame the culture.
Yeah, you blame the culture and them hiring Thibodeau in the first place. I feel like if we had a better coach, he would have stayed.
Absolutely.
Thibodeau
I don't blame Jimmy
moron.
At all.
But I think, you know, the Wild have had these great young goaltenders, and then they trade them away for like a six-round pick because they think they're worthless. Mm-hmm. And then these guys end up being great starting goaltenders for a team. Maybe we give Capo that chance. He was literally
Give him a chance, man.
He was, in my opinion, he was the best goalie in the AHL last year. Whenever he played for Minnesota, he had like two shutouts in his first three games.
He came in and did really well.
Every single time he's suited up in a game for the Minnesota Wild, he's at least proven to me that he's a starting caliber goalie. Now, he hasn't really showed me that he's elite, but he's proven that he's a starter caliber goalie for what, $700K a year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's so cheap. He literally could be our starter. Honestly, you could just put your marbles on, like all on him right now. And just see how this year's goes, because obviously we're trying to build for the future. I think we're already starting to, you know, he's already starting to deconstruct things. Bill Guerin is obviously giving up Donato for just a draft pick when you think you probably could have got a little more for him. Honestly, I think he still has a lot to prove. He just didn't do a whole lot here. He's young.
Yeah, Ryan Donato, we traded him for a third round pick.
He's gone in
next year's draft, not even this year's draft.
And now Jake, too, that also ruins your call. Dono Arigato, Ryan Donato.
Dono Arigato, Ryan Donato. It's
PA
done.
Can't steal
he
it.
Can't use it. He was going to use it
he
this
was gonna
year.
He was going to steal it from you, not give you any credit. We can't
using
even
it,
do that
stealing
now.
It. Now you can't do that.
So for the ethical reasons, I think that was for the best.
I saw a lot of people, Minnesota Wild Nation, very, very mad about this trade, Ryan Donato going to San Jose.
I can see why.
The only thing I can say about it is he's a good player, and he should have been given more ice time, and he should have been given more an opportunity in Minnesota. The only thing is he hasn't been given an opportunity yet in Minnesota. Why not ship him to a team that will actually use him? He's projected to be on our third or fourth line anyways next year. Bill Guerin wants cap space, and he wants picks so he can rebuild his own new team. He got both with this deal. You know what? Like, I may not be the biggest fan of it, but at least he's doing something.
Yeah.
No, I think he's being ballsy at the same time. A lot of these GMs come in and you're like, no, I want to hold on to this player. No, I don't want to.
But we're all sick of this getting eliminated from the first round thing.
I know.
Like even if this doesn't work, at least he tried.
He's trying.
He's doing something.
This first round bullshit's got to stop. And this goes for, you know, all sports. Well, obviously you get the Twins here in a second.
Oh, Jesus.
But
hold me back.
The shit has to stop. This shit has to stop. And the Wild are one of our, you know, eyesores in this state in terms of sports, in terms of a team that you think has potential, and they just totally shit the bed. And you're the state of hockey. I know that we literally don't. We're not like the team that's like, oh, we're the state of hockey. Well, we're getting all the top Minnesota players to play for the Wild, because that's obviously not how it works, but we're still the state of hockey. We should still have that mentality to like, oh, we should win here. We're allies are on us for being an elite hockey state. Why can't we get a team that makes even a run at the Cup, and we can't even do it? We lose in the first round, but I don't know. I think it does start with a good goalie, and it would be cool to see Marc-Andre Fleury here, because I think he's still good.
I think he
still has a few years left in the tank.
He should not be on the bench. He should be the starter.
He honestly, like, he is insane. The guy is flexible. The guy is agile. He's quick still. I think he's still got it.
Three adjectives.
He's one. Let's hear the adjectives.
No, Jake just listed
three adjectives. I listed three adjectives. I win some contest somewhere.
I get
the adjectives.
Well, I think Marc-Andre Fleury has won 3 Stanley Cups, and he's played in 5. Like, that is the kind of experience a team like the Minnesota Wild needs.
And Bill Guerin. Right, yep, they have the connection?
Former, yeah, Bill Guerin was a former assistant.
Like chemistry.
He was a former assistant general manager of the Pittsburgh Penguins when Marc-Andre Fleury
did.
Oh,
so they were
play.
Homies, dude.
Dude, they're total homies, dude. Total homies. Well, did he win? Well, I know, like, who do they have? Matt Murray? I know they won 2 years in a row, the Penguins. Did they have, didn't Matt Murray, like, win... pretty much win the second one stretch?
So remember, they went back-to-back against Detroit.
Yep.
They lost the first one. Flower won the second one. And then, they won, like, back-to-back again in the 2010s.
Yeah, so they beat the Sharks and the Light. No, they beat the Sharks and the Predators. They beat the Sharks and Predators.
Yeah, and
in the late 2010s.
The very first time,
they beat Detroit.
Flower was the goalie.
Fleury?
The second time, Matt Murray was the goalie.
Who's Flower?
No, it's a bit, Jig.
Flower is Marc-Andre Fleury.
Oh,
Fleury.
Flower.
It's not
is that
bit.
Another
that,
nickname?
That's the only nickname he's ever gotten.
Oh, nice.
Ever. At least as
I always
as
think
I'm
of McFlurry, so Flower is a great nickname.
Or McMurray.
McMurray. When I hear Matt Murray, like the goalie for, I always just think of McMurray. Hurry now. McMurray, hurry now.
Good news.
Good news, not so bad. McMurray, go. No, Murray, you speak first.
The last piece of Minnesota Wild news is that they did sign defenseman Carson Soucy to a 3-year deal. I think $8.25 million over the 3 years, which is $2.75 million a year. What Minnesota Wild they have their 6 defensemen locked in. They're paying their 6 defensemen a lot of money, but they do have them locked in.
He's a good 6 defenseman. I like that. Didn't he get injured in the Game 4 against Vancouver? Or no, Suter was out. And then Bartkowski had to come in, and we were just dog shit on the ice.
Who?
Bartkowski. I forgot, but that I just remember Suter got injured. But Soucy, I like Soucy. He's a good dude, and he's actually a good defender. Now the next step Gary needs to do, get rid of Brad Hunt. That's the next step. He's an AHL. He's a second line or third line AHL player playing like in a top 4 defenseman role, and it's just sickening to watch. It's so annoying to see him on the ice. He's not an NHL player.
Maybe we put in Kyle Rowe.
We put in a Kyle Rowe. Oh yes. Here's Andy would have brought like a notebook. Oh yeah. See, I was waiting for you guys to bring this up. So here are my 10 points why the Wild should start Kyle Rowe. On the second line center. He's our, because we're looking for a center. I think they're in the market for a center. No, here's why they can save money, go with Kyle Rowe, and why he'll actually be elite. I'm predicting it. Andy, shut the fuck up. I'm sorry. Like, he's just, okay, he had that one great year at Eden Prairie. He's a fine player, but that's it. But he would probably be defending himself right now, honestly, and why he thinks he would be a number one center. But I don't know. We'll have to see what happens with the Wild. They've just been kind of... they've been disappointing, but did you have one last thing?
They do have the NHL draft is tomorrow on Tuesday when this podcast is released. The Wild have the 9th overall pick. They definitely. So my question, I have 2 questions for you. One, do you kind of have an idea who you think that they're going to pick? I think that if Marco Rossi falls to him, he led the OHL in scoring last year. He's a center.
Yep.
I think that he would be great.
Yep.
Or, of course, you got Antoine Lundell.
Antoine Winfield? I'll take him.
No, he's a Finnish guy. You know, the Minnesota Wild, they do have history with Finnish players. They're both
centers.
They
love their Finnish.
Those would be who I would think that they're going for.
I would think they're going to go for a center.
But I'm just excited.
They got to.
And the 9th pick is great. They're going to have a chance to actually get a real solid player. And it's just nice to know that the Minnesota Wild are moving on to the future. So
you have a confidence center GM. You're not like that Paul Fenton. What was his first draft? He drafted that Swedish defenseman.
Philippe Johansson.
He didn't even make their national team.
No, he didn't even make the Swedish national team that year. It was a horrible pick. But the Minnesota Wild have Vancouver's old scouting director now. They hired him this year. This is the guy who got Pettersson, Besser. He's gotten all their
Bozer.
He's gotten all their good, fresh, up and coming players. This is someone who definitely turned the Canucks into a non playoff team into a playoff team. I am looking forward to see what he can do. Do you have any idea who the Minnesota Wild are going to take? Or maybe instead of that question, should they take the best available player, or should they take their biggest need, which is a center?
I think they should just take a center. Straight up.
Over the best available player?
Honestly. They need a center.
We're down 2 centers, right? Or at least one.
Well, yeah, you're down.
The trade with Staal was straight up for another center, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
But the Koivu, getting rid of Koivu, we need another center now.
Yeah, getting rid of Koivu for sure. And they just need that. I mean, Koivu was almost playing like a second, like a number two center, wasn't he?
He was fourth line for us.
Well, wasn't he trying to fill in that? Who was trying to fill in the? Well, no, you have like, who do you have rotating in to try to play our top center, like Eriksson Ek and
so
or not
normal,
Eriksson Ek.
Eric Stahl.
Eric Stahl. Yeah, Eric. That's right. Eric Stahl was trying to circle in there, and like these older guys, right? And then who's our other center?
Again, the Minnesota Wild, they change their lines along up a lot. So they always return, like the number two center always seemed to be different, especially in the playoffs. It always seemed to be different as well. They
never consistent.
Yeah, it was never really consistent.
See, that's just they need, like, you look at these teams like the Tampa Bay Lightning and stuff. They have consistency in their lines. Like you saw with Boudreau, like I didn't blame him. He was always switching up lines like every night. They're like, he switched up this line again, and it's because nothing's working because their team is just kind of shit. And well, I don't know. They need to get a center they can put behind. Obviously, he wouldn't start. And the ninth overall guy, maybe. I don't know. But
I think they were playing Alex Galchenyuk as their second
line.
Oh,
yeah,
center.
Dude. See, that's just bad.
Yeah.
He's like a fourth-line center anywhere else. Like, okay, they need to get a center. This is ridiculous. I think they take a center 100%, even if he doesn't play this year. I mean, a ninth pick is kind of on borderline of like, okay, are they going to stick in the AHL for a year or come in? But isn't Mikko or Nico Sturm a center?
Nico is, yep. Nico,
they just signed him.
He's a 26-year. I mean, like, he's not really showing me too much other than he could be a good third or fourth line guy, which is, you know, every team needs that. But
need a top center.
Bill Guerin seems to have an erection for Victor Rask for some reason.
Why?
He
sucks.
I think Bill Guerin said something along the lines of whenever we've asked like him to do anything, or whenever we've given him ice time, he's performed. In my opinion, that's what Bill Guerin said.
What does performed mean?
Again, so
like
he was
Mike Zimmer on his girlfriend. He performed.
So I think a lot. For most of the year, Rask was either scratched or like relegated to a fourth line role. So I think what Guerin is saying, whenever he got the third line or second line role, he played like a third or second line center, is what Guerin's trying to say. But the only reason why I think he's saying that is because he can't find a trade partner and he can't buy him out because it's too much money.
No one's gonna want Rask. I don't even think someone would trade him for a seventh-round pick. They're like, no, we're more confident in our seventh-rounder than getting Victor Rask. Like, no one's going to do that shit. Like, it was a wasted trade. I get getting rid of, like, Niederreiter, but that was terrible. And why does Guerin Guerin, yeah, I mean, he's doing great things, but come on, man, you got to see right through that shit. Like, that's just not an ideal player to have. But I don't know, if they can draft a center and then they actually go out and get some center, like Jack Eichel, I know is a long shot, probably not coming here, but they get a guy like that, hey, this team's on the right track. I mean, they already kind of are, but it depends on what they do. But we'll see what happens. But you know who's like depressing is the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably just still not on the right track. Speaking of like the first round losses, and it was like I thought I was gonna have an aneurysm last week. And I know, Boss Man, you had like a rant on social media about like how we're all feeling
it's
about
just,
it.
That's the most raw, like, emotional video. God, I love using raw as like an adjective.
Raw. And moist.
But it's, you just can't say anything. Like,
no.
I'm trying to think of what words come first, but I get too pissed off. Seven hits. That's still the number that blows my mind. Three runs is pretty sad, and you can still win a game with three runs. The pitching was good enough. They could have pulled it off. But the seven hits part, I'm like, that's the number that really gets to me. Like, we've been using the Bomba Squad thing. I'm so sick of those words. I even hate saying it now. Every time someone says Bomba Squad, I'm going to say shut the fuck up.
Or the Twins
marketing?
No,
they're not. They're not the Bomba
Twins
Squad.
Marketing is going to use that for marketing ploy to try to sell.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys need to stop. Like, we've talked about this. Until you win a fucking playoff game, I don't care if, like I've said this, I don't give a shit if you go 162-0.
Doesn't
but you
matter.
Can't win a playoff game.
Shit.
They can't. They have this mentality. It's like a mental thing. They can't win. Like Larry Polanco pulls is equivalent to Blair Walsh missing a 24-yard field goal kick.
I would say that's the same category.
Yeah, dude. Polanco has been a G at shortstop. I still don't want to get rid of him or anything. Very good shortstop. Makes excellent plays all year. And the one time he just needs to make a simple throw, he totally. What happened?
Just dropped Zane's phone. It's fine.
It's fine. But
Polanco made one error every 30 games. That's how good he is in the field. And during the third error he's at all year in 61 games, it happens now in this time during that inning with the bases loaded.
It's a mental thing now. It's a curse, dude. I totally think it's a curse. Like I totally have convinced the players are in their heads like, oh, we haven't won 16 straight playoff games. The Vikings haven't done this shit. The Wild do this. The Timberwolves can't do shit, blah, 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 blah. It's like it's all in their head now, and they're like, oh, fuck, people are looking at us. Now we're on the spotlight this year again. And they ever – dude, and you're watching the game, and every hit is fly ball, fly ball, fly ball, strikeout, fly ball, fly ball. Like, can you guys – like
double play.
Just as upsetting is both of the first and second games. That first inning, bases loaded for the Minnesota Twins. Leave the first inning both times with zero runs.
Now, I was saying this the weekend before in our 10K chat because I watched the whole entire series against the Reds the weekend before the playoffs, and this happened like four or five times. And I remember putting in the group, guys, if we do this next week, we're fucked. And everyone's like, chill out. It's just one game. It's just one weekend. And then even that first day, it happened in the first game. And I go, I've seen this before. I know what's coming. And once again, there are people saying, chill out. First inning, plenty of baseball left. And I'm like, no.
This isn't looking good.
For a team this cursed, you need to take anything you can get. And you get an opportunity like that and you blow it. I mean, actually, I don't care. Even if there's eight innings of baseball left, you have a right to get mad about that. Mm-hmm. When you have the bases loaded with one out, you got to take every – and it's a booger take. You got to take every run you can get. They add up.
Yeah, and it's going to come back to bite you in the playoffs when you're on when you can get eliminated. And this isn't like game – in a 162-game season, this isn't game 71 where
against
it's like,
the Orioles
whatever, we can drop one. We're leading the division. This is game one of a playoff series. We haven't won – we've lost 16 straight games. It's literally the longest postseason drought losing streak in amongst all four North American sports of all teams. When I saw that, I literally almost puked.
It's hysterical.
I'm like, this is, and you can't win a game. I was hoping they just win a fucking game, and they can't even win a game.
Well, see, we've been using a word a lot when talking about the Twins here, and it's been essentially a curse, right? Like, we feel like there is some sort of curse. I never felt that way my first 24 years on Earth watching the Twins play, or watching Minnesota sports in general. I just thought, you know what? Eventually, we're going to get something, right? Teams lose, they lose. Minnesota may lose more than like other teams, but whatever. Eventually, we'll get one. For the first time ever after watching that Twin series, I felt like we were actually cursed.
I know.
I was kind of the same way because I've always kind of – you always look at those teams like – you think back, you almost felt super like, why didn't I see it before? With the Vikings, you thought we're cursed. You know, Timberwolves, whatever. Wild, they're like, yeah, they could turn the corner, but whatever. Twins, you're like, okay, I can count on them. I thought this was the year we're not playing the Yankees. I think it was just always the Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
And we play the Astros, the laughing stock of sports right now. I know that there was still – they only played 60 games, but they were still below 500, and we lose both games.
Yeah, they went 29-31. All their best hitters were below a 300 batting average. When like half of our lineup was above a 300 batting average, and it's like
they had their best pitcher Justin Verlander hurt too.
Yeah,
yeah. Like you could, and they threw balls like right down the middle, hittable, and they were either missing them or they're popping them up.
I'm over Sano. I think it's time for him to leave at this point.
Just last year, before the season, you were predicting Hall of Fame for Sano.
So bad,
Jack. You can't flip flop like that. Let's not be a politician here.
He's not good.
Well,
I'm sick of watching him swing at everything. I'm actually just, like I said, the Bomba Squad, we're not using that term anymore. I've canceled it.
Speaking of Sano, I think he finished with 48 or 49% of his at-bats. He ended up with a strikeout, which is the highest.
Can't do that.
The highest strikeout percentage in Major League Baseball history, mm-hmm. A sport that's been going on for over 100-plus years, and Sano is setting records for strikeouts this year. Absolutely unacceptable. I don't care about your launch angle. Fucking get on base. I miss the
make
days.
Make contact with the ball.
Do you guys remember the Piranhas, Minnesota Twin Piranhas? I miss the day where they just fucking get a million base runners. They put the ball in play.
Bunt it.
Yep.
They get a guy to third and get one out.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They manufactured runs when runs weren't happening, which Rocco Baldelli apparently doesn't know how to do. Rocco managed scared the whole series. Am I wrong?
He played very conservative. There were I heard a lot of talk and analysis or whatever about how there was like no sense of like trying to like get some guts into it. Like there was some points where they probably could have tried to bunt to get on base or something.
Or even
else was working.
Well, let's even go on the defensive side. You pull Berríos in the middle of the fifth when he hadn't showed any evidence of slowing down.
It's
you
the stat. Someone was looking at a stupid stat.
Yeah, some nerd with a tablet presented by Microsoft.
Dude, I'm sorry. We don't have Jonah Hill for Moneyball.
Yeah,
okay?
I saw a hilarious tweet, and it was like if Rocco was managing either the 91 or the 89 Twins, he would have taken out Jack Morrison after the fifth inning. Yep. You know, he went on to pitch 10 innings and won the World Series for the Twins.
Seriously.
Rocco would have pulled him in the fifth inning, which is true. Analytics are analytics. They're there to be like useful and helpful, but you shouldn't manage your team 100% based on analytics.
There's teams that are going
analytics.
Too religious on it.
It's just good info to know, but you should go with your gut.
Well, there was another example. I think it was in game. It was in second game. I think it was in the ninth or top of the ninth when the Astros got a lead. It was a hit where it was two out or no. It was game one. I think it was when Romo was pitching. So there was two outs. I think it was immediately after Polanco made that bad throw to second base to Arise, and literally the next batter up. Or no.
He has the shift on, right? He turns on the shift. And where the shortstop normally would be,
it goes right through there. Because Polanco's in center behind second base.
He's playing the analytics. Oh, this guy mainly hits to the right side of the field. And it's like, okay, that would have been an easy out right there. We would have been out of the inning.
Yep.
There were several times where Rocco had the shift on, and they just hit where it wasn't.
I know.
And it's just like, at this point,
it doesn't matter where you shift it. They're going to hit where there's not guys.
At this point,
batters are good enough to do that.
Yeah, line up just normal. Just line up normal, please.
And make slight adjustments here and there. Don't be behind fucking second base, like almost in center field. That's
when
just,
the game's on the line in the ninth inning.
He hits 80% of the time that way. No, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Play where shortstop goes. And sometimes you need to play some old school baseball.
And as someone who hates on the Twins pitching all the time, seeing them perform well, but seeing the hitting drop the ball was like the hardest thing to watch. Like, this team's a fucking teeter totter. Like, there's no balance. It's one or the other that's going to be good or bad. And this year it was the pitching and batting was atrocious. And like you said, Jake, like that, or Zane, like the word curse. I mean, we played the Yankees last year and we're like, I mean, the Yankees were a good team last year. You know,
so
money can buy everything. This year we play the shitty Astros in a two-game series and I'm like, okay, this is where the Twins like show as an organization what their worth is and you know, overall maybe with the odds in our favor. I mean, a guy put $500K on the Twins. They were the better team going into the game, but we just lost.
Everything
went wrong.
We were the better team. It's like there was no – everybody was hitting the same. It's like everybody was one and the same on that batting lineup. There wasn't one player other than maybe Cruz that could actually, like, hit the ball. They were all pop-ups, strikeouts.
Yeah. And then Rosario
gets ejected
in the seventh inning, second game,
because
for being a hothead. What an idiot.
It's like, dude, it was a tie game at that time, wasn't it, I believe?
Yeah.
Or it's a one-run game. It's like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
This isn't game one of a seven-game series. Maybe.
Well, really quick, let's talk about that, though. I totally forgot what Astros player it was, but there was an Astros player who was literally, he did not like the strike zone getting called. He freaked out. He was screaming at the ump. The ump gave him plenty of fucking leeway. He didn't eject him. I don't understand where this ump gets off thinking he can eject Rosario for something what the Astros are doing as well.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't even know if Rosario, I think it's like he said something under his breath because he was walking away, and then the ump's like, you're out of here, and then I guess what Rocco was talking about, like, he didn't really even say anything. I think he just said something, you know, that might have been a little demeaning, but he didn't swear or anything, like, under his breath. It's like, just let him go over to the dugout. I mean, Rosario probably said something he shouldn't have said, but it didn't look like he was, like, getting in the ump's face. It's like he was walking away and said something under his breath, and then the ump, because that's when I saw Rosario come back at the ump, because the ump threw him out. It's like, but still, just, if you're going to be furious, like, go into the, you know, dugout, walking kind of off the dugout into the tunnel a little bit and leave some steam.
Do you remember the days where the player would just hold onto the bat and they'd start hitting the water jug and all the helmets and shit?
Yep.
Go do that. That's also way funnier.
Yeah, don't be yelling. Don't be saying shit that could get you kicked out in the playoffs in game two in an elimination game, and you're one of our most consistent hitters.
Then they fill him in with Jake Cave, and everyone's like, gosh, shit.
Yeah.
In a way, I kind of knew we were done after game one, because after game one, only one Twins player was available for comment, and it was like a 23-year-old rookie catcher, Ryan Jeffers, or whatever
his
name
is. Who couldn't hit a ball to save his life.
Well, let's not even talk about that. At least he was accountable, and he spoke to the media. After game one, you still have, you know, technically two games left in the playoff series, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's still plenty of life left in the team. No one cares to comment. You're not down 3-0 in the series. You lost the first game.
There was a vibe.
There were Stars players who interviewed after they lost the cup.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Jamie Benn, he was crying. He could barely get a word out, but he still showed
up.
He took three questions, and before it was too painful for him to leave. I want that kind of emotion. And the Twins don't have anyone who can fire up the team. I think Sergei Romo, who unfortunately sucked during the playoffs, He fires up the team, and what I think when Luis Arise, he got a walk, he turned to the fucking dugout and screamed like, "Let's go!" Let's go.
Yeah,
it's like, you can hear it on TV.
We need more of that.
It's almost like after game one, there was that like kind of that weak vibe. Like you almost, it's almost like they felt like they lost the series, but you didn't, of course.
And it's
it.
One
it's just
game.
Like weird.
It's just ridiculous.
It's just one game. Like you literally could have turned it around and won two games after that. Like it's, and they couldn't do shit. And now what's funny is you sit here and think, and people are like, "Oh, geez, well." After that, you almost don't know who the next Minnesota team that's most likely to win a title. And for the first time in my lifetime, it's probably the fucking Gophers.
Yeah,
it's a Gopher football team. And that's even probably tougher out of all sports to try to get into the playoff and compete against 120 other FBS teams. But right now, they're our most likely team to win a championship, which I thought I would never say in my life.
Yeah, holistically, it's just not looking good.
No.
Yeah. And that's not saying a lot either, you know.
Well, I
love Gopher
looking...
football. They're in the top 25, but...
Let's just go over the four teams. You got the Wild, who are in an iffy rebuilding type situation. They could make the playoffs next year, or they
you
could
never
be
know.
Horrible.
NHL's weird.
You got the Timberwolves, who are just god awful always. Like, fuck the Timberwolves.
No matter what talent they get, they're going to suck.
Mm-hmm. They're
poor front
office. No championship in my lifetime.
Losing culture.
You got, obviously, the Twins, who it looks like what Nelson Cruz was their best player, is about to turn, 108? Like,
yep. Yeah, that's bad.
The Twins are the CEO of the regular season, but they're a janitor in the playoffs.
A huge regular season team.
And then the Minnesota Vikings, who are currently 1-3. So what do we have to look forward to?
Who just beat a team so bad that they fired their GM and their head coach.
Yep. Like, ugh.
So it just doesn't look hopeful. We've been in this conversation before, you know, where like this, but you always at least can like look, yeah, well, maybe the Twins can turn around here. Even last year, even when they lost to the Yankees, like, let's get into another year here. Let's fucking get by the Yankees, get some of these rookie pitchers more experience. It's like, now you're sitting here like, I don't know what to think anymore. I don't know what to think anymore.
Well, and if you think about it too, 2020 should have been the Twins' year. Why? Because the world has turned to shit. Mm-hmm. Everything is upside down. If everything technically is upside down, the Minnesota Twins should win a fucking playoff game. 2020 should have been the year to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, because everything else didn't make sense this year, so that could have just joined in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna make a really good transition here into social simp. My social simp was Ted Schwartz for tweeting. He's a writer for Off the Baggy or something like that.
Yep.
He tweeted both days, "The Twins will win with the lineup below." Like, that's how he'd report the lineup. And we were just like, enough from the clown.
The Twins will end the playoff drought with this lineup. And he's like, they will win tonight.
And, dude, everyone's like, dude, shut the fuck
dude,
up.
Dude, shut the fuck up, Jay. That's a cold take, bro. That didn't age well.
But that's what I'm saying. That's a social simp. I think that.
You can't say that, especially in Minnesota. This is going to win us tonight. No.
Not
in Minnesota.
And us being positive, like, it's not funny. Like, don't be positive. It's
dude, you can't be positive. Like, you can't. I mean, I try to have a little optimism, but it's not like it's this totally delusional saying, like, this is going to help us win tonight.
Yeah.
Dude, this team has lost 16 straight playoffs games going into the series. Don't be saying they're going to win tonight.
There was a guy who put $500K on it.
Yeah, and he lost it off.
I don't know what I don't know what in your mind tells you that that's a good idea, but
I mean, I get the idea. Like, you had that. You know, we all kind of had that halfway good feeling, like, oh, they're going to end the drought this year. But one, we didn't know if it was going to be game one, and two, why I would never bet maybe even $1,000 on that.
No,
that's just a waste of a bet.
They would the Twins. Okay, so here's what the Twins have done to my confidence level. They would have to win over 100 playoff games straight for me to put a single dollar on them in a playoff series because I just don't trust it. By the way, my dad told me that there was a casino who does a sports book in Iowa, and they said back in 2004, if they were to make – obviously, this is just completely hypothetical. It never happened. But if Vegas were to make odds for the Twins losing the next 20 playoff – or 18 playoff games straight, it would be 1 to 28,000. So you'd go in there with a dollar. You'd buy your ticket. 20-some years later, you get 28K in your pocket.
Give me a time machine.
And then
someone would go back and tell them, what are you, crazy?
Just
18 straight playoff games?
Like,
really?
A hot tub time machine. Like, I'd be that guy.
Well, people wouldn't even think you're an idiot just in general for losing 18 straight games. Like, you don't even know how many times they'll make the playoffs. They might not even make the playoffs for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
Well, and it's like, no, I've seen it, sir. I've seen the future.
It's funny, Jack, you talked about positives, like, you know, Minnesota fans, and just don't be positive, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you really can't be. And this kind of, like, Jake, you posted a meme during the Vikings game. And it was pretty much along the lines of, like, it was just pretty much saying that the Texans, like, the Vikings are happy that the Texans
are
like,
almost just as bad.
Are just as bad, if not worse, than the Vikings.
Yeah.
But we posted it in the middle of the game, and I want to say we had 15, 20, like, responses of people saying, way too early to post this, man. Way too early. Way too – just nothing but negative content.
It's like, dude, I didn't say they're going to win the game. No. I just say they suck as much as we do.
They're all, like, beaten dogs.
Yep.
But no, I know what they mean. So I know, like, I get how they took that in that context of – I get all people took it in that context because we're Minnesota fans. Like we're so used to, you know, people.
We're so used to losing that. Don't want to mess with any other.
That superstition.
Any superstition or luck or whatever. You don't want to mess with it because if Minnesota needs all of the luck they can get. And kind of building off your social simp, Jack, mm-hmm. My social simp of the week has to be with Carlos Correa of the Houston Astros, who after beating the Twins, he said, "People are mad. People don't want to see us here. What are they going to say now? We're a solid team. We won a series on the road in Minnesota. So what are they going to say now?"
You still cheated.
What I'm going to say to you is that you are bragging about beating a team who set the record for most postseason losses in a row in North American sports history. Sick flex, bro.
This is like a tiny sample size if you really did turn it around because you just beat the most cursed team in MLB.
Carlos, this is what I'm going to say to you just really quick. In 2017, you guys cheated your fucking asses off and you won a World Series. In 2017, Carlos Correa, he hit .315. This year in 2020, without the cameras helping him, he only hit .264. Look at Jose Altuve. He won MVP that year. In 2017, he batted .346. This year, he batted .219.
Yeah, he's terrible.
He looked like...
Carlos, your team fucking sucks, okay? You suck without cheating, and you guys are going to lose to the Oakland Athletics, hopefully.
Well, and when you beat a team that's cursed, that's basically the step above cheating, right?
It pretty much is.
Pretty much.
It's like being given a game by the universe.
Seriously, though, it's you guys haven't turned – if they're going to – he's talking like they won to go to the World Series or something. You're playing in what is a game that – a series that doesn't even usually exist. This is an expanded playoff. You're playing in a very first-round game. Now you're going to the ALDS. And, you beat the most cursed team that has lost the most consecutive playoff games.
He's acting like he beat the Yankees. He's acting like he beat the Dodgers. He's acting like he beat an elite team when they didn't.
They won the World Series this year, which I don't give a shit if you win the World Series. You still cheated in 2017, and that's just a dog shit thing to do.
And I hate to break it to Carlos, but if it was any other team playing the Twins, the Twins still would have lost.
100%. Yeah. The way they played, they would have lost that game to the fucking Pirates, I think, who have finished last in the league.
Yeah, Correa is like an adult who took candy from a little kid on Halloween, and he's like, "I'm the king of candy."
Yep.
It's almost like a high schooler beating up like a 15-year-old beating up a 10-year-old. Like, yeah, dude, I can beat up anybody.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Like, you're just a dick.
Imagine, 15-year-old, you beat up a 10-year-old, then you turn around. What are you going to say now to everyone staring at you?
Yeah, like, I'm strong. Yeah, what are you going to say now? It's exactly
what happened.
It's like
Family Guy when he beats up the kid. Shut up, Kyle.
I love that.
Beats the shit out of him.
Shut up, Kyle.
No, but it's that thing. It's so dumb. But my social simp kind of shift gears a little bit to more so of the Vikings. So, of course, not this week. You'll probably see a much happier, there was a much happier Mike Zimmer, but last week, just following their loss to the Titans, he had that press conference, and we decided to. When there was that bit where that one journalist was asking about the you've allowed over 100 points in the first three games, and then Mike Zimmer went off saying I if you're gonna get to a question, just ask it because I don't want your opinion on anything. And he was just so pissed off.
Yeah.
And then we just totally did a voiceover this guy's question. It was an easy edit. I'm just like, dude, Zimmer, your team is dog shit, dude. Like you're giving up over 100 points in three games, and then of course Zimmer
hates
says that
guy. Like every time that guy opens his mouth,
that
like
journalist,
Chris Tomlinson or whatever.
Yeah, Zimmer just automatically looks more upset when that guy just starts.
He could win the Super Bowl, and if you start talking, nope, you're not ruining this moment.
Yeah,
no, shut up.
It's like the Toby to Michael Scott.
Exactly. But
no matter what he says or does, it's just not going
to
be good.
No, especially if you're talking to him about giving up 100 points, over 100 points in three games, like he doesn't want to have it. But my social simp goes out to all the people that thought that was real. Like, I mean, we're kind of flattered. I'm not saying you're complete idiots, but I mean, if I watched that on the internet, our edited video, I'm not talking about the real one where the actual journalist is talking, the one we edited. I mean, it sounds very real. I'm very flattered you think it's real, but come on, people. Do you think they would really let some stoner-ass guy that's like, dad, your team's dog shit, but don't you think they would have muted him? And you think they would have let that guy in? Why do you think people, well, like, we had like 50 people asking, is that real? Is this real?
What was
is this
that,
real?
What was that series, Mad Libs, or what do they call those, like, with the NFL players with the voice
Bad
over?
Lip reading.
Bad lip reading. It's like...
It's like saying if that's real.
Yeah, like, it's just good editing.
It's great editing. Like, again, kind of flattered, but you're kind of idiots. Like, that there were so many people asking, is this real? It's like, come on. If I came across it, I'd be like,
and then
this is hilarious.
And then there's the guy who, like, has to be the hero, and he's like, no, it's not, because I listened to the interview, and that was not what they said.
There was a comment. I remember a guy explaining, no, it was this journalist, and he actually said this. They totally edited and cut it. Oh, yeah, thanks, dude. Oh, you ruined it. Oh, damn
thanks,
it.
Thanks, John Madden.
Yeah, thanks, John Madden and Booger McFarland there. You totally ruined it. Oh, we totally wanted to play this off like we had a weird-ass stoner dude in the press conference Zoom call. Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. But it's like, come on, people. Like,
well, what I love, too, is like someone commented right away, ha, 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 is this real? We respond to it on TikTok saying, yep. LOL, no, it's fake.
And you have,
and you have about then
more comments of people who didn't read the comments.
Yeah,
first.
But they're like, is this real? Is this real? So you had about 17, 18, 19 separate people asking if it was real when we already answered the question. Just look at the comments. That you could, all those people are social sims, too. Look at the comments and see what's going on, okay?
You're obviously commenting, so you're in the comment section. You just type,
just read down a little bit. You'll find your answer.
So it's like you guys are all kind of idiots of the week for just thinking that's all real. I mean, we're flattered in the way that you think it's that real, but it's a comedy bit. Of course it's not real. They don't let people in like that. Come on, get your head out of your ass.
Yeah.
But seriously, though. But let's move on to our final segment here, the boom and bust for the week. Definitely, again, you know, the booms are the big things that happen, positive things that are going to be happening that happen, busts, the bad things, but... Zane, you want to go first?
I'd love to go first.
Thank you.
Oh my God,
you're welcome.
You to go first.
I love your universe.
My boom is that the Minnesota Wild are making moves. Eric Staal's gone. Mikko Koivu's gone. Devin Dubnyk's gone.
See ya.
Ryan Donato's gone.
Bye.
We re-signed Brodin and Soucy. We brought in Marcus Johansson and Nick Bjugstad. You know what?
Nick Bjugstad.
I don't have really strong opinions about any of these moves, really. All I know is that I love what Bill Guerin said. Bill Guerin said, if I don't make moves, nothing will happen and we'll just stay the same, and that's not the idea. I love that quote because it's true.
Change is good.
We need to change something up. I don't care if the changes are bad and we lose a bunch of games. At least we're good for finally losers and we get a first overall pick, right?
Yep. Well, I hear out of that quote, this is kind of like my nerd coming out of me right now. That doesn't come out very often, but like Lord of the Rings, they say in the first Lord of the Rings, when Frodo's you know, he almost didn't want to take the ring to Mordor, and like some elf was talking to him saying, if you don't find a way, no one will.
Jake, I don't watch those like movies because I'm too busy actually getting laid.
Jack.
Oh!
Jack.
Oh!
No.
Oh! Joke four.
No, Jack.
Joke number four today. We're only one away from five.
Well, you're not getting as you're not getting as intellectual when you're getting laid as if you watch those movies.
Yeah, the boys at the studio weren't the smartest. We had a nice little beer can collection going, but we didn't wash out the cans after drinking the beer. We just set them down, and we got quite the collection of fruit flies now.
We didn't rinse them out, so that's our fault. But Guerin making moves.
Yep, that's my boom. And my bust is that, of course, the Vikings have to go to Seattle again for what seems like the third year. They have to play on the road in Seattle.
Who are making the schedules?
Yeah, what the fuck is... Have Seattle come to Minnesota for once. You know what I'm saying?
Pete Carroll with Gumman is making the schedule.
He probably is.
They don't want to come to U.S. Bank. I think they haven't played at U.S. Bank
yet.
No,
they have not.
They're
yet
petrified.
So obviously, like... It's
full fans, of course.
They think the stadium is cooties.
Obviously, the Minnesota Vikings don't have to play Seattle with the full fan base this time, which will, you know, greatly in our favor. But at the same time... Come on, have Seattle come to Minnesota for once. My bust is that we have to go back to Seattle, where we need a shootout to win.
Although this would have been our luck if they did finally schedule them, it would have been in 2020 when there would be no fans.
Yeah,
so
I guess
I'd rather just do it, stuck it up again this year, and then hopefully next year, if we do allow fans, or whenever we allow fans again, that Seattle will finally come here. But I think they've been petrified to come here, honestly, to U.S. Bank Stadium, because then they're going to get a taste of their own medicine of our fans. You know, it might not be, you could debate if there's this big louder, but...
Skull!
Skull! They don't want to hear that shit.
Madden.
What?
I said from Madden because they have to pump.
Oh, yeah,
the
I know. They're going to have to get it from Madden.
So
yeah,
like the 20
the
family
Madden
to do it. They just said, tell them to all bring megaphones.
Just bring megaphones. No, just still cue the Madden thing. Just,
the Madden
we'll say it's
bit.
Theirs. We'll say it's theirs. But, yeah, that's definitely a bust. They need to come here. Jackson.
I can dance like Michael Jack.
Son.
My boom is we're going to L.A. this week.
Yes.
Jake and I will be there from Thursday to Monday.
Friday to Monday.
Friday to Monday. We're going to do some funny shit, man. People from the Midwest stick out like a sore thumb in a place like that.
We're going to try to fit. I'm not going to do it because I don't want to fit in like a Californian. I don't want to be a Californian.
I'd never want to be that. Please hit me with my own car if I ever turn into that.
So if I tried to look like an LA person, I would still stick out. But imagine if I come back like, dude, what's going on, dude? We just talk like that all the time. Yeah, dude, I'm from California, bro. No, you're not. You're from Minnesota. You went to LA for 2 days. Nah, dude, that's your opinion, dude. I've been transformed.
But yeah, we're going to go there. We're going to interview some people. I think Mike Hawk is actually going to be. We're going to try to put him in one of our suitcases.
Yeah, we're going to bring him out there. He might be getting a ticket separately.
He's going to be getting a little drunk out there.
He might get a little drunk. He's trying to spread the brand, the Row the Boat brand, and he's doing some scouting, I think, at LA Central High School or something.
Yeah.
For onside kickers.
He's going to try to spread the Row the Boat brand, but not spread.
He's going
to
be yelling on the beach drunkenly.
Coronavirus.
He's not even looking for normal kickers. He's just looking for people who can do the onside kick.
He
goes to the school. He's like, hey, I'm looking for your onside kicker. Oh no, we have a kicker. No, I'm looking for your onside kicker.
He's going to have to convince Fleck to drop one of the backup kickers for
Matthew Stevenson.
He's going to have to drop someone from the practice squad. He's going to convince him just to pick up an extra kicker just to do onside kick.
He's an onside kicking.
It's going to be quite the project, but.
Be fun.
That's what the analytics are saying. You needed a specialist.
Analytics.
We're going to be doing all sorts of the shit we do here in California, which I think is going to make it funnier.
Yeah, because people either aren't going to get it as much or they're going to think we're complete fucking lunatics. If they think we're idiots here with our accents, it's going to be hilarious.
Anyways, my bust is they found a dead cougar on 494 in Bloomington.
Rip.
Not a MILF.
Yeah, dude, that was disgusting. There was a bunch of older women that were quoting the tweet saying, I'm alive and well. And it's like, shut up.
No,
just shut up.
One added you or anything. Stop. Just no.
Yeah. Stop being gross.
Yeah, they're trying to cling on to something, right? And it's like, you stopped being a cougar a long time ago. You kind of actually.
You progressed past that.
They're trying to make a bit here.
You're a senior citizen.
I'm sitting here just genuinely curious how an actual mountain lion made it on a busy highway part of Minnesota in Bloomington.
You know,
I don't want to see
an animal
shit.
Has died. Leave it to these special people. To make it about themselves. An animal just died.
Well,
social media.
And you get people like Bubba who are like, yeah, you kids probably haven't even seen one of those. It's like, yeah,
you've never seen one outside of the zoo.
You grew up in Eagan.
No, see, I went up to my cabin, and I was in the woods, and I confronted one. I fought. That's his logic of how he tries to act like I'd never, you know, we're afraid to go in the woods because we're afraid of a wolf howl. I'm like, dude, you don't even go anywhere in the woods.
Legitimately city boys.
Yeah, we go up into the woods well more than he does. He claims that we're these city boys, that he's the one sitting at his house when his parents go up north to their cabin. He's like, I got a house sit. Oh, maybe you're just scared of the outdoors, huh? No, I could fucking live in the woods. Then do it. Okay, nothing.
How many times has that kid has told us that he's moving to Bemidji? He's told me
Alaska.
He's told me that he's moving to Calgary at certain points of his life.
Yeah, it made no sense.
It's like, oh my God. Dude,
I went to his house one time and his dad was in there. And we were trying to make small talk with him, and we're like, oh, so Alex is planning on moving to Alaska. At this point, he was talking about moving to Alaska for this month, and then his dad's like, now it's fucking Nashville. He was looking at it, so I'm like, what? He's like, he wants to move fucking all over the place.
I'm a country boy. That's where I belong.
He's a lot of talk, isn't he?
He's a lot of talk, all talk, no game, man. He's just not there. But we'll see if he does something. Maybe he'll move. He's claiming he's going to move to Rochester or something where he's seeing a girl. So who knows? We'll see what happens. But
Zane, what's your boom?
All right, it's all Jake.
He gave his
Jake.
Boom and bust. He went first.
Yeah. Jesus, short-term memory loss.
Well, it's a Monday.
It's a Monday.
If you didn't have short-term memory loss, I'd be concerned for you. That means your weekend wasn't that hard.
Stop hitting the nitrous in the bathroom.
True. Well, the realtor provides
paint thinner.
It's provided for free by the
as long as it's free.
And the paint thinner out of a bag.
Yeah, paint thinner.
No, I don't do that. I stick Sharpies
it's fruit
every day.
Flies. They're distracting me. They're flying all over the place.
That should have been someone's fucking bust.
My ADHD is like true. For honorary mention, the bust is the fruit flies.
I think all of our bust is the damn fruit flies that just get in our face. Just damn annoying.
Worse, so.
Jacob, finish up this podcast.
My boom is Mike Zimmer's girlfriend.
Oh.
So I know we talked about
that's
it, but I mean
that's a physical boom.
It's a physical
bust. If you get to that point,
physical boom, physical bust. That is not a negative.
That's
in this
joke
point,
number five.
But that's not true. My bust. Actually, my bust will actually be negative. But he's anytime you see a 64-year-old guy, he's a 1-3 coach. He's maybe not liked here as much, but he's the Vikings may not be winners, but he's definitely a winner every time he goes home now, if that is truly his girlfriend. I know there's like rumors, but it totally is his girlfriend.
What do you,
she's 38.
What is she attracted to? Do you think she's attracted to that power he has, that leadership he has, or is it more have
he's
to do with
that,
stare. That green?
She's attracted to that face shield.
yeah, that Mike Zimmer face shield.
And his arm cross and his buggy eyes that
I mean,
just stare at you.
Let's be serious. She's got to have daddy issues, right? Girls who are into guys like that. I mean, he seems like an authoritative figure.
100%.
Who'd yell at her to do something, and she'd be like, "Daddy, please spank me."
I mean, you usually see that with
the way he yells at his players.
Yeah, I could totally see, like, there's probably some raunchy shit that happens that I don't even want to probably even think about.
Let's finance a porn parody of Mike Zimmer. Yes.
We'll call it
10K Media. Bubba, like, can I be in it? I'll be Zimmer. No.
God.
Or Andy, I'll be in it. Like, they think
we're
serious.
We could do, like, an Eiffel Tower.
We could do Eiffel Tower. I've seen it. Andy, how do you know what that means? I've seen videos.
Well, it'll be a really corny title, too, like Coach Dick Zimmer or something.
This is something.
Coach Dick Zimmer takes the Browns to the Super Bowl. It'll just be the most
Zimmer
ridiculous.
Fucks the Packers.
Pounds it in the end zone.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Something super cheesy.
Something with D and defense. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about Kirk Cousins sucks like that. Mike Zimmer's today.
Mike Zimmer brings the D.
Mike Zimmer does porn and Joe Buck announces it.
Oh, Joe Buck and,
was a cock
and
like
Tom
that.
Brenneman.
Yeah, Tom Brenneman gets involved.
Tom Brenneman goes, penetration's about to start, presented by Ray St. Clair Roofing.
Penetration's going to start here from Ray St. Clair Roofing.
It's like, I don't even know if I'm going to have a job again. Mike Zimmer just enters
by Vikings and Mike Zimmer's girlfriend.
Porn live.
Minnesota porn live. Anyway, we talk too much. We dive too much into that. You guys can keep
do what
going
you will
with
that.
Do what you will with what we just talked about. But my bust is definitely those Fox graphics. If you didn't see them, they try to do like a cartoon thing. Just put the basic photos on
it. Started in the Super Bowl last
year.
Everyone's like, "What the fuck is this?"
Like, so I didn't really notice it during the Super Bowl. I remember it being in the Super Bowl, but I didn't remember it as prominently just because I'm not.
It's not your players.
I mean,
involved,
it's not your players. Like, you're drinking, whatever. But now it's like, it just looked bad. Like, Kirk Cousins looked like. Look, people are saying he looked like young Mitt Romney. He looked like Brett Favre and
Tom Brady
combined.
Well, I feel like that was one of those things that Fox did zero market research for, and they just kind of implemented it because
it's just gross.
Because someone at the top is like, "You guys need to be improving the broadcast," and they're like sitting around in a room, like, "Do you guys have any ideas? You know, all the graphics, like when we put the players up, what if we just make those animated?" And some guy goes, "Yes, let's do it.
That looks cool. That's unique. But CBS isn't doing that." Yeah. There's a reason CBS isn't doing that.
But here's the thing,
it's weird.
Not only is it just a bad idea in general, but the execution of the graphics itself were horrible. Snapchat has an anime filter where if you put it on yourself and you go to the anime filter, you'll look anime. That looked better. Like, if they did that for every single player,
did it
would
have Kirk Cousins.
Right? If they did that, if they would have done that instead of draw like personalized ones for every single player, it would have looked
100% better. The anime bit would look cool though, because then you're appeasing maybe a new niche community of anime people who don't like football maybe, and they're like, "Oh, that's dope. I'm gonna start watching that because now I'm gonna view these players as characters."
Yeah. You have the 0-3 Kirk Cousins as an anime character, and he's like, "I need to get my honor back."
Well,
get my honor back.
Yeah, if we want to make this animated, all we need to do is add triple D's, twinkling eyes, and really high pitched giggling, and Fox is there.
And then just like make the women always have to be extremely sexualized. And every single anime,
skirts.
Every single anime I've ever seen, they just draw like the biggest boobs, the biggest ass,
tiniest
waist. It's like, how about we draw
totally
some
healthy
normal
in the mind of young males?
Yeah, yeah, right. Let's
see that.
Totally realistic.
Let's draw some realistic body types for the young men out there, okay? Let's lower their expectations because life's not going to be that great.
Yeah, right. Let's raise their expectations.
That's what's been happening.
Yeah.
And then you're gonna never mind.
Speaking
what
of bust,
I just don't want to get into Andy territory. Let's move
wait,
on.
Wait, I was gonna say bust.
Uh-oh, another bust?
No, I was just gonna say if you're gonna go off the anime bit, then there are people who do that, who jerk off to anime.
Oh yeah. Well,
we know someone back in our high school. We won't talk about that.
No, we're not going to talk about that. We saw search history in high school.
Hey,
but
once I took Bubba's phone and I just typed P into his search bar, and the very first thing that popped up was fat bitch porn page 6.
This was in high school, so he better not be getting pissed. He'd be like, "Why did you say that?"
The funniest part of that though is that not that he searched fat bitch porn, but that he was on the 6th page of fat bitch porn.
We're like, what the hell? He's like, "That I didn't do that."
He's
it's
like,
it's
"I need
search
to
history."
He's like, "Why are we on page 6 of it?" it doesn't take you 10 minutes to find the video you need. And it's like, okay, Bubba, I'm done talking.
The other
to
five
you.
Yeah, we're pages done. Were not good enough.
Yeah,
we were right in school too, talking about, like, no, we need, he's like trying to get in an in-depth conversation about it too. We're like, no, it was funny. It was funny. And he's still trying to talk about it. Well, how long does it take you? No, we're not talking about this.
Yeah.
Dude.
You literally started
weird.
We were like, no, he's like, you guys find your results on the first page. And he's just like
we're done with this conversation.
He was so interested in our like porn search habits. It was very confusing. It was very concerning.
Very weird too. But I think that's enough boom and bust. I think we've done enough there. Because now a lot of sexualized stuff that I think we need to stop saying bust.
I think it's the word bust now.
That's kind of getting to us, because there's a lot of very sexual stuff of a sexual nature. You know what I'm saying?
You come with no sense.
Yo, I was changing. I'm saying, you non-knocking motherfuckers.
Yeah.
He's like beating it off, and they catch him. He's like, yo, it's changing. And he's like,
Ricky's like, that was fucked. And Bubbles is like, that was a bit fucked.
That was a bit fucked. And Julian's like, never mind. J-Rock, never mind. No, I was changing, Julian. You know that. You know, I was just changing, bro. And he's like, okay, Julian, never mind. Or J-Rock, Jared, I don't care.
That was this week's Trailer Park Boys cameo.
Moment of the week, J-Rock.
It happens,
that show's great.
It happens at least once a week, I feel like. Someone starts quoting J-Rock or
that,
Ricky.
But like,
every other week,
if you think
at
about
least.
Everyone who works at 10K, like, that is our show. Like, if there's a show that we all watch a lot and we all know everything about, it's got to be Trailer Park Boys.
Well, it's Minnesota here, too. Like, I know it's well-known around the world, but especially here in Minnesota, because we kind of relate to Canadians.
It's a Canadian show, so.
So we do relate to that.
Well, everyone says
kind of.
That Minnesota is the Canada of the United States, and I can see why.
We are a southern province
of Canada. We like to drink,
we're
really friendly, we like hockey, we love our syrup. I mean, I think it aligns.
We do have prettier women, though.
True.
Than Canada. Yep. They're not, because, like, geez, they're so ugly with, like, the... With like the half heads, like South Park makes them out to be, that's exactly how they look like. No, I'm just joking. But there are some hot Canadians, but Minnesota is probably a hotter one. Okay, Bubba.
Have you seen Sidney Crosby? He's straight up gorgeous.
That's a male.
Oh, really?
Males are hot from Canada. Females are not.
Wow.
Bubba's
what about
Wayne
Gretzky's daughter? Oh, no. Wayne Gretzky's daughter is American. She's American, though.
She's hot. Paul.
That makes sense.
Paulina.
Yeah, Paulina. Justin Johnson, right? That's his.
Justin Johnson.
Is that out? Yeah, that's his significant other.
Or wait.
It's Dustin Johnson.
Dustin, DJ. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's not Jake.
I said Dustin, I thought.
You probably did. This isn't.
His name's Jake.
Has been the Minnesota Rundown.
This has been the Minnesota Rundown presented by Wayne Gretzky.
Do the outro with Kirk.
Yeah. Bring Kirk back for it.
Wait. No. Kirk, you can come back in.
Yeah, Kirk.
Hey, buddy, you can sit right. No. Kirk, okay. That's not a chair. That's a stepladder. Here. Okay.
Now we're good. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for letting me sit here and tune in. I know you guys told me to sit outside and just shut up, and I can only listen in, but I'm glad to do the intro and outro guest for you guys today. But anyway, guys, make sure to check out 10,000 Takes. This was another episode of the Minnesota Rundown. If you want to check them out on social media, they do a lot of great videos with me, and it's awesome. You can check us out on Twitter, 10K Takes MN, Instagram at 10K Takes, Facebook 10,000 Takes, and check us out on YouTube. But guys, make sure you watch me this Sunday against Seattle. I appreciate that. I know you'll be on the field. I love my brothers and sisters in the locker room. I got to add sisters because people apparently get mad if I just say brothers because there are female personnel there. So I want to make sure that I have a shout out to everybody. But anyway, guys, this was another episode of Minnesota Rundown, joined by JJ Wags and Boss Man. I'm Kirk Cousins. Fuck the Packers. God bless.
God bless. Thank you.
God bless.
Peace out.